All right, we've got game two of Giants-Padres coming up tonight, and last night was a heck of a game, and I expect the same thing tonight. Mark Simon joins us. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark, how are you today?
Good. Happy to join your murderer's row of guests today.
Yeah, we, as you said, brain power. We had that today, but it's been a great baseball discussion, and I want to ask you this, and it came up a number of times today. How important are April statistics in the scheme of a baseball season?
I think you're gonna see a lot of players who are April stars, and that kind of fade the rest of the way, and the April kind of gets forgotten. So I think they're mildly important, but I think there's more than enough time for a player to make up ground. If a guy hit, you know, sub 200, I think the ones to be really concerned about are the guys that are like at the high ends of the extremes. Like if you're hitting like 120 right now, that's a little bit of a concern. Or if your ERA is 6.5, that would be a little bit of a concern. But if you're in the fours or you're hitting, you know, 220 at this point, plenty of time to make it up. And as far as April and postseason goes, not to be skeptical on the Giants, but I think that April doesn't necessarily tell the whole story. It certainly doesn't hurt to get off to a bad start, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee anything either.
All right. Now, the Giants, boy, the National League West, I think, has been a great story. I think baseball itself has been a good story, but in the West, we've got the Giants with a lot of positive stories and a lot of surprises. How do you analyze the Giants?
I think my favorite story from the season is the fact that they're 27th in average fastball velocity, but they're third in ERA. I think that tells you all you need to know about how they've kind of figured out ways to win rather than tried to overpower teams. Like, and for example, like a team like the Mets overpowers you with its pitching. The Giants pitching doesn't do that. The Giants is more about, like, I feel like Alex Wood really defines kind of what the Giants are, and Disclafani to a point too. They're not going to overpower you. They're just going to beat you. And I think that's the best thing. And then I guess my runner up on that would certainly be the resurgence of Buster and how he's looked like he's really benefited from having a year away, because he's come out like gangbusters so far.
What do the analytics tell us about Major League Baseball for surprises and who may hang in there and who may not?
Let's see. Well, so I never bought into the fact that the A's were going to be problematic when they were 1-7. It doesn't surprise me that they bounced back. I felt pretty good about them before the season started as being a postseason contender. So I would feel all right about them. In terms of surprises, I think Kansas City and San Francisco are your two biggest surprises. I don't know that the Royals have staying power. I don't know that I necessarily see it from their starting pitching in terms of depth. I'm not necessarily convinced that that's a team that's going to go really far. But Danny Duffy's been fantastic. Mm. Danny Duffy's been like, basically like the DeGrom of the American League. So credit to him for that. Seattle certainly a surprise. You saw that in the first series of the season, the way that they came back in that first game. Kind of set the tone for them for the way that their season's gone. They're 15-12 entering today. National League Giants are the biggest surprise. I don't think it's in fact, in the National League, I think you could say it's not even close. They're by far the biggest surprise among the teams. As for staying power, I think you got to get me to 80 games and 45 and 35 before I start to believe it.
Okay, that's half the season. I'm with you on that. I like to see at least 62 played with 100 to go. I get a better idea then. Tonight, this is another one of these pitching matchups. And, boy, when I saw the matchups for this series, now I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with Musgrove, if he's going to pitch or not. But tonight, DeSclafani has been just outstanding. And then on the other side, Blake Snell, outstanding, but he hasn't stayed in the game that long.
Yeah, he's had problems going deep into games. I'll start with him. The thing to watch for him, it goes back to the World Series, right? Are you going to let him face hitters the third time, or are you going to take him out in that, you know, in the fifth inning, like they did in his first start of the season? He has trouble as the game goes on, and I guess this doesn't surprise you. Like the way that he pitches, you would expect that the second and third time through, hitters would like pick up on the slider, right? Because or the curveball, because that's a nasty pitch, and it tends to come in on you for a right-handed hitter. And if you're having a bad day, you're going to chase it. but a lot of teams are laying off it the second and third time through, which gets me to a stat, a stat to watch for today. Giants third time through, if they let Snell go, 321 batting average, 667 slug. Tommy La Stella, Brandon Belt have both been good against pitchers the third time through this season.
Well, I'm looking at my notes on Snell. Second time through, hitters are 6 for 27. Mm-hmm. Third time through, 2 for 13. So why complain?
Right. But a lot of walks, right? Like the walks are high for him. So that's what he has to be careful of.
Yeah, lefties.
And DeSclafani, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, please. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say DeSclafani, last start, 100-pitch complete game. Slider was awesome. It may be the best that you could ever have asked that pitch to be in a game. 30 of 39 for strikes. The Rockies hitters 0 for 11 against it. If he can do that against San Diego, that would be impressive.
You know, Machado, Tatis, and I say this, I've watched their games against the Giants. They don't really do damage to the Giants very much. They handled them pretty well last night, too, with Logan Webb.
Yeah, I was very impressed with how Webb got Tatis to chase a pretty good amount in the at-bats that I saw. I guess you want him to be a little overeager.
Yeah, and he was. And I think it takes a lot away from the Padres if you can slow him down. Keith Law was on with us a little earlier today, and we talked about his book, The Inside Game. And we talked about umpires and whether we should see computerized umpiring and things like that. Do you think that's important? Do you think that umpires really do impact the game right now to such a degree that we should think of another way?
Well, you saw it last night. I guess my worry would be with the technology and whether the technology can get it to a level that you would want it to be before you would use it. The guy that you saw last night was to a extreme, and that's his modus operandi. That's the way Adam Hamery umpires games. The guy tonight's kind of the opposite of that, much tighter strike zone. And yes, I think it definitely impacts games. I still like it. I think I like it better than the robots. But it definitely does impact the game, as we saw last night.
Are the Mets ever going to score a run?
Yeah, they scored 4 in the first inning today. They actually looked like a good offense today against Zach Wheeler, which I thought was pretty impressive. They've given up a couple since, but that's confounding to me. That's something that to me, if I saw that as an April stat, I would be like, they'll snap out of that. No reason not to.
All right. Yesterday was the anniversary of the great Hall of Famer Willie Mays, whose 90th birthday is May 6th. His 4 home run game against the Braves in 1961. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I gave this to John Miller and Dave Fleming last night. I think they got it in. That the funny thing was that someone wrote the San Francisco Examiner like that day. They got a regular mail that said, "How come Willie Mays isn't bunting?" I thought that was kind of the highlight of that. That on the day that he hits 4 home runs in a game, people are complaining that for some reason that Willie Mays, the greatest player of all time, isn't bunting.
Well, there must have been someone on Twitter, right?
You know what it was? It's 60 years ago. It was the perfect precursor to what Twitter is.
That's right. Someone had it in his mind. I can tweet this out, believe me, and no one will. All right, 7-inning no-hitter. Are you in favor of it in the record books? And let's talk about Bum a little bit.
Yes, good to see. He's had so many bad things happen since he left the Giants. It was good to see a good thing happen for him. My feeling is if the rule declares 7 innings is a game, then 7 innings should be a no-hitter. And I think that's the fair way to do it. I wouldn't do it in like a situation where it could have been 9 innings and it gets shortened. But in a situation where 7 is the declared length, that's it. And it should be.
All right. I agree with that. And maybe a separate segment of the record book that says, you know, other than a 9-inning no-hitter. Because, look, you got Harvey Haddix with 12 perfect innings. And Mark Gardner took it into the 10th inning. And they're wiped out. They're wiped out. And they went beyond 9 innings.
Exactly.
Crazy. All right. Mark, have a great night tonight, and we love talking to you. And next week, we got the Padres again, so we'll see what this week brings. Thank you.
Great. You got it.
All right. That is Mark A. Simon Says on Twitter. And Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions, I highly recommend following on Twitter. It's a lot of fun to follow him. All right. So we got baseball coming up. Our pregame tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. And I'm going to take a break, and then Katie Wu is going to join us to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals, and then Kerry's going to handle the rest of the pregame, and Bill handles the pregame tomorrow, the last part, as we rotate, and we have our rotation. So we will talk to you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. All right, more coming up right here in the Sports Leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.